Hey, you want that to go?
Good morning, everyone. Around the takeout table this morning with some quick hits on things we want you to follow this week are Ibrahim Abdul-Mateen, our sports contributor. Good morning, Ibrahim.
Good morning.
Kim Severson is here, who's helping us all day with tips on how not to be intimidated by turkeys. Happy Thanksgiving, Kim.
And to you.
You know, we were talking earlier this week, Ibrahim, about how to prevent difficult family issues from coming up at the Thanksgiving table, and somebody offered that the reason football proliferates on Thanksgiving is that it keeps people from talking about anything else.
It numbs them.
Is that how it works in your household?
That's interesting. Well, in our house, everyone's involved in the cooking, so the early games, which today is going to be at 12:30, and then there's a game at 4:15 and the game at 8:20, so you can basically not talk to anyone in your family the entire day and just watch football.
Isn't that great how football works? So 12:30, we got the Green Bay Packers and the Detroit Lions. This is the most traditional of the contests on Thanksgiving Day.
It is, because the Detroit Lions have been playing football on Thanksgiving since 1934.
Wow.
So there's a lot of history there. Not as much history as the Boston Latin against Boston English high school game, which has been played since 1887.
No kidding.
Exactly. The oldest high school football rivalry in the United States played on Thanksgiving. So that's, you know, there's a lot more history there.
Oh, that's wild. Well, the Packers and the Lions, who's ahead in that series?
That's a great question, and I don't have the answer to that question.
Well, I have here Detroit holds an 11-6-1 advantage. So they've won more times, but
they've played more games on Thanksgiving than any other teams against each other. So they played against each other. This year, they're playing against each other again, but the Lions have clearly the worst record.
The worst record.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Oakland Raiders and the Dallas Cowboys. So that's actually possibly an exciting game.
Of course, The Dallas Cowboys have played every year since the 60s. Except for 2 years, the Cowboys have always been in Thanksgiving football. So this game could have NFC playoff implications.
And because of that and the fact that the Cowboys are America's team is one reason why it's a big, highly rated game on Thanksgiving Day. But, you know, there was some talk of just pulling the Lions out of this whole thing since nobody wants to watch the Detroit Lions. I know I'll get in trouble with Celeste for saying that.
Well, the Detroit Lions would have been a much more interesting team to watch if Matthew Stafford, who was last year's number one pick in the draft, if he was healthy this game. He's not going to be there, so Dante Culpepper is going to be coming in as a starting quarterback. So it won't be as interesting. They're going to have two of their best starters, their offensive starters, out for this game. So that will make for a different kind of game. But we know that the Detroit fans love to flock around their team around Thanksgiving like a flock of turkeys, and then they bunch together on Thanksgiving and they support them.
All right, lastly, the New York Giants and the Denver Broncos will play the night game tonight, and both fan bases for the Broncos and the New York Giants are looking at their teams to kind of come back in some ways, right?
It's true. So it's kind of like the Pequot High School in Ohio versus the Troy High School game, which is the closest game, the closest series, 59-60. 1899 was the...
Oh, wow.
They've been playing since 1899, so look out for that game if you're in Ohio. The Denver Broncos and the New York Giants are two storied NFL franchises. This is a non-traditional NFL game. The Giants have typically played on Thanksgiving in history, but them going all the way out to Denver, it's almost like a pilgrimage. That's what they said in one of the headlines today. It's almost like they're going out there on some kind of, you know, Thanksgiving religious pilgrimage to see if they can stake their claim for the NFC playoffs.
A football turkey hodge from Ibrahim Abdul-Mateen. I love that. That's a great segue. Thank you, Ibrahim. Stay with us because Kim Severson is here, dining writer for the New York Times. You can reach us at 8778-MYTAKE or email us at mytake@thetakeaway.org. Kim, here is one of our listeners' stories about you know, the kinds of things that they look out for on Thanksgiving.
When my wife and I first were married, we had our first Thanksgiving together, separate from the family. We were living out west. We had some friends that had young children, so I was unaware of any consequences of doing this, but I figured I'd lock the turkey in the oven because the kids were walking near the stove, and I thought, well, it'd be safe just to lock it so they can't open it. Well, we had to let the oven completely cool before we could get the bird out, which put a damper on things.
Now, I didn't even know ovens had locks, but that's just one of the pitfalls of trying to overprotect children once again. Kim, what do you do when there's lots of people in the kitchen, lots of people with knives, and there's lots of kids running around?
Well, I think you go into the other room and lock yourself in the other room. But actually, you know, it's a fun time to have people in there. The thing you need to do is find some little tasks to give people who hover so they can go away and do the task and go, if you could shred these carrots into the tiniest little shreds you could for me, that would be great. And then you get them out of your hair and, you know, whether you need the carrots or not.
Mom had us grind the meat for the stuffing and grind the oranges and cranberries for the cranberry sauce. We used to work at that old food mill thing. We'd sit there.
There's
and
a big piece of the puzzle, John, right there.
That's right. There you go. Thank you, Kim. Here, Karen from Tulsa, Oklahoma wrote, I keep hearing about using higher temps to cook the turkey. What do you think, Kim? What's the best temperature to cook a turkey?
Higher temps are great, particularly if you have a smaller bird. 425, you can do a 12-pound bird in a couple of hours. It's a great thing. I always start mine high. I've got a big bird this year, and then I'm going to drop it to 350. So put it in there for a half hour, 450, get a good sear on it, and then drop it to 350, and you'll be fine.
Do you do that kind of surgery thing where you cut the skin and put stuff underneath the skin to keep the breast from getting too dry?
You know, I don't think the payoff is worth that. I do rub it with a lot of salt and pepper, give it a little butter, stuff it with some aromatics, but I think you can fool around too much with the turkey.
Stuff it with some aromatics? That's not
right.
Like room fresheners, is it?
No, you know, a little. You can put in a pear, you can put in some herbs,
really?
You know, things that kind of
wow.
Keep it moist, make the room smell good.
Ibrahim, looks like you got a question.
Well, I like the idea of having a pear. I wonder what other kind of, could you put an orange? Could you put any other kind of citrus?
I don't know that I'd put an orange in. I might do some lemon, some Meyer lemon might be okay if you want to do that. But like apples and pears, things that are moist and get kind of steamy and they impart a little bit of flavor into the meat are good.
It certainly makes the house, the kitchen smell great. Right. Worst turkey disaster you ever heard of a friend?
Worst turkey disaster I've heard of. The worst thing is the pot of oil in the garage with the drunken uncle that got tipped over during the deep frying, situation. You know, that I've heard that's, and you know, it's very dangerous. I mean, deep fried turkey actually is quite a delicious thing. But, you know, God, it's a pain.
It's a bomb in your house,
it
actually.
Is.
Yeah, and we've kind of moved. A couple of years ago, that was the big thing. But it seems like we've moved past that. Kim Severson, stay with us. Coming up, we're going to talk with the head of the White House Office of Faith-Based and Neighborhood Partnerships. Our week-long series on faith in America continues in just a few minutes. Ibrahim, have a great Thanksgiving.
Thank you. You too.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.